Grace to you and peace in the name of our suffering Savior, Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. From John's Gospel, we hear these words. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put a sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In the second chapter of Genesis, after God had made Adam, but before he had created Eve, he said to Adam, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And yet Adam went ahead and ate some of that fruit anyway. But he didn't die as God had warned. In fact, he went on to live to be some 930 years old. So what happened to God's threat? Well, it was fulfilled. In fact, it was fulfilled on that very day. Yes, in that very moment that Adam ate that forbidden fruit. For in the eating of that fruit, he and Eve became separated from God, which is ultimately what death is, at least spiritually speaking. God came looking and calling for Adam because sin had created this great chasm between the two of them. That oneness, that harmony that they had shared in the beginning had been shattered by the curse of Adam's sin. And so while Adam did not physically die an immediate death at the moment of his disobedience, he did die the death of separation from God's eternal presence and blessing. And so we see that the concept of death in the scriptures, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, can refer to the cessation of one's physical life and presence and being on this earth, or it can refer to the spiritual separation of one's life and presence and being from God in eternity. And thus, when we talk about Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, we're actually referring to both Christ's physical death, which occurred when he breathed his last, when he bowed his head and he died. And we're also referring to Jesus' spiritual death, when he cried out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When the sky went dark and he was separated from God as he bore the punishment for all sin, for all people, for all time. It's important for us to recognize this distinction, because in our gospel reading today from John 19, just prior to Jesus' physical death on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." And so if we understand that the it, to refer to Jesus' mission as the sacrificial Lamb of God who came to this world to take away its sin, and the way that it was achieved or accomplished was through his suffering and death on the cross, and the it was finished before he physically died, then we have to understand that the suffering and death of Jesus for us has to do with more than simply a crown of thorns, some rusty nails, and a splintered cross. And thus Jesus' torment in the Garden of Gethsemane, his angst as he prayed, was not due to the physical death that he was about to endure on the cross. That physical death which hundreds if not thousands of other people had already suffered for their crimes. But his angst was due to the spiritual death, that separation from God that he would suffer on the cross as God would lay upon him the punishment for the sins of the entire world. Jesus lamented in the garden. His soul was overwhelmed with sorrow. And he pleaded with his Father to remove this cup of suffering from him. For he knew that his mission involved suffering the torments of hell, that we might experience the joys of heaven. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus' suffering and death in Isaiah 53. He wrote, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." And so when Jesus cried out prior to his physical death, "It is finished," he meant that the sins of the world had been paid for. That chasm that separated us from God had been bridged. The debt that was owed to God had been paid. The curse of sin had been broken. And thus his mission of making us just and holy in the sight of God was complete. And that's why we commemorate and even celebrate this day as Good Friday. Because on this day, so many years ago, as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hung on a cross, he suffered the sentence for our sins. He was separated from God in our stead, that we might be forgiven and saved. And thus, no matter what we have done, no matter how often we have failed God or hurt others, the payment of Christ and the pronouncement of Christ remind us and assure us that we stand before God at all times, forgiven of our sins and destined for heaven. Because in the words of Jesus, "It is finished." To God be the glory. Amen.